Man, I'm glad I brought my Bible. I hope you didn't forget yours. You got it? Let's see them. Isn't that a beautiful sight? Look around. Isn't that good? Amen? Are you in an amening mood? All right. The other two groups, not so much. So I'm counting on you to help me this morning, all right? Hey, as you're turning to Genesis chapter 35, Genesis chapter 35, I want to invite you to take a trip with me. And it is a trip back to the place called Bethel. You know, it's that place where you first met God. It's that place where God first became real to you. Bethel. Now, as you're turning to Genesis 35 and as we're getting ready for the trip, let me ask you a very personal question this morning. Has there ever been a time in your life you can look back to and say, you know, I love Jesus more then than I do this morning? Or, you know, I look back over my life today and back whenever, you know, the things of God really excited me more back then than they do today. Well, I found a great Bible promise for you. If that's true for you, it's found over in James chapter 4. Listen to this. James says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Now, isn't that a great promise? Amen? In other words, you take a step toward God, and God promises, man, he'll take a step toward you. And then he goes on to say, and by the way, he's talking to believers. He says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and listen to this, and he will, say it with me, lift you up. Hey, you need to be lifted up today? Draw near to God. And he will draw near to you and humble yourselves. You know, you may be like Jacob today. I mean, you've come to know the Lord in a personal way. But the joy of salvation, it's just not there anymore. And the things of God that once excited you and enthused you, not so much anymore. And worship has become just something I got to do on Sunday, rather than the passion of your heart. See, you may be where Jacob was in that day, needing your faith rejuvenated and your family reclaimed for God. And you know what? It's time for a lot of us to get back to Bethel. That place where God was number one in our life. That place where God was everything to us. Well, that's what I want to talk to you about for a few moments this morning, getting back to Bethel. Well, let's read about it. I'm in Genesis chapter 35, beginning in verse 1. Then God said to Jacob, rise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make an altar there to God, who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau your brother. And Jacob said to his household and all who were with them, put away the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourselves and change your garments. Then let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God, who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me in the way which I have gone. So they gave Jacob all their foreign gods, which were in their hands, and the earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree, which was by Shechem. Verse 5, and they journeyed, watch this, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were all around them, and they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, that is, Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him. And he built an altar there, and he called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared to him when he fled from the face of his brother. Now, I want you to notice the first thing as we think about making our way back to Bethel, the first thing that we find here is the summons back to Bethel. The summons back to Bethel. God is summoning Jacob back to Bethel. And just as he summons him, I'm telling you, he is summoning us to get back to Bethel this morning. Now, what we don't have time for is to read chapter 34. Let me give you a little setup of what was going on in his life. To begin with, Jacob had hit rock bottom spiritually. He had moved his family to a pagan town. His daughter Dinah was seduced by a pagan prince. And in revenge for that, her brothers went to the town and massacred all the males. If that wasn't bad enough, his family, listen to this, his family had turned away from worshiping God. And now they were worshiping pagan gods. And maybe like you, and like Jacob, you've hit rock bottom spiritually. And God may, for you, seem so far away, so far removed. Hey, can I tell you God's remedy for backsliding? God's remedy for backsliding is a slide back. That's it. It's a slide back. The way forward, it is the way backward. And God had three words to say to backslidden Jacob. Back to Bethel. Hey, is there a Bethel in your life? I mean, do you have a place that you can go back to and say, man, this is where God became real to me for the first time? I mean, this is the spot, this is the time that Christ Jesus came into my life. You know, for Jacob, it was Bethel. In fact, back in Genesis 28, when he was back at Bethel for the first time, here's what he claimed to claim. He said, the Lord will be my God. He settled that in Bethel, back in chapter 28. The Lord will be my God. Hey, do you have a time like that in your life? I mean, do you have a place like that? Years ago, I was on a sabbatical. I was pastoring. Church gave me some time off after 10 years. Trust me, 10 years of dealing with Baptist people, you need a sabbatical. So they gave us a sabbatical. And as we planned for that, we thought, now, what are we going to do during these weeks? And one thing that we felt a pull to do was to go back to the place where God first became real in my life. To go back to that place where Christ came into my heart and saved me. Now, back then, it was an open tabernacle, much like we have at our camp, Camp Cherokee. And it was located south of Dallas, Texas, in a place called Mount Lebanon Baptist Encampment. And listen, what that spot was for me was what the burning bush was to Moses. What that spot was for me was what the road of Damascus was for the Apostle Paul. That spot for me, it was what the Sea of Galilee was for Peter, James, and John. I showed up there at night. We got on the campground a little late. So I grabbed a flashlight and went out there to that open tabernacle. My mind raced back to what happened there as a 9-year-old boy on a Thursday night. And in fact, I walked under there where the tabernacle was. And I envisioned in my mind what was happening that night, that Thursday night at children's camp. And I walked forward as though retracing my steps as a 9-year-old boy. I was greeted by the pastor. He handed me off to someone who took me over there to the edge of the concrete floor of that old open tabernacle. I was within 3 feet of the place where I first met God. I mean, I was within feet of the place where God became real in my life. Hey, do you have a place like that? Do you have a Bethel in your life? That place you could go back to and say, man, this is where it happened. Man, this is where I met God. This is where Christ came into my life. Do you have a place like that? You say, well, Ernest, you know, truth is, man, I don't have a place like that. because I've always been a Christian. Can I be, I'm going to say this as nice as I can to you. If you've always been a Christian, you've never been a Christian. Hey, that's like saying, I've always been married. You may feel like you've always been married. Okay? But you've not always been married. Listen, there was a time you were single. It happened. You were single. And at a place, at a point, in a time, you became married. Just as you were at one point lost, and at a certain point, a certain place, you became saved. I'm asking, is there a Bethel in your life? Is there a place like that for you? See, for Jacob, we read about this summons back to Bethel. Hey, but how do you get back there? I mean, how do you get back to Bethel? Well, to begin with, let me say this. You can't go back somewhere where you've never been. See, you can't go back to Bethel if you've never been to Bethel. Hey, but the good news of the gospel is, man, you can have a Bethel experience even right here this morning. See, that's why Jesus came. That's why he died on the cross. That's why he rose from the grave. But there is a summons on your life today from God. And the summons is, get back to Bethel. So there's the summons back to Bethel. Now, the second thing I want you to notice in the text is not only the summons back to Bethel, but I want you to see, secondly, the steps back to Bethel. I mean, if we're going to get back there, how do we get back there? Well, I want to tell you ahead of time that the steps back to Bethel lead through one door. It's not through the door of remorse. It's not through the door of regret, but it is through the door of repentance. It's the only door that leads back to Bethel, when God is number one in your life again. And a part of that is that we've got to clean up some things and we've got to clear out some things. That's exactly what happened in the life of Jacob. In fact, notice in verse 2 that he had to clear out some things by removing some false gods in his life. Verse 2, it says, and Jacob said to his household and all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you. And then notice in verse 4, so they gave Jacob all, not some, all the foreign gods which were in their hands, and the earrings which were in their ears. Apparently, these earrings were associated with these pagan gods that they had been worshiping. And it says, and Jacob hid them under the Timothath tree, which is by Shechem. Man, you gotta hand it to old Jacob. Hey, can I say a word to all you fathers that are here today? All the fathers that are here. How long has it been since you gave some spiritual leadership to your family? I mean, how long has it been since you've given some spiritual leadership to your family? Can I tell you this? Your wife is longing for you to give some spiritual leadership to your home. Your children are listening for you and looking to you for some spiritual guidance, some spiritual leadership in your home. That's exactly what Jacob did. Listen, he got the family together in the family gathering room for a family time. He got them all in there, and he says, now listen, it's time that our family gets rid of these false gods. It's time that our family comes clean. It's time that we change some of our habits. It's time that we get back to worship. It's time that we get back to praying. It's time that we get back to having a daily devotional time. I'm telling you guys, without his leadership, their family would have never made it back to Bethel. And had they missed out going back to Bethel, that family would have missed out on God's blessing and God's favor in their home. Hey, don't let your family miss out on God's favor because of your lack of leadership in the home. Verse 2, Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you. So the first thing they had to do in order to get back to Bethel was to put away those things that were wrong in their lives. He says, put away the foreign gods that are among you. And by the way, when he says put away the foreign gods, he's not saying simply store them away for another time. But what he's saying is, he's emphatically saying get rid of them, discard them. You see, the Jacob family had some foreign gods in their home. They had some idols in their life that were taking the preeminence that only belonged to God. In fact, Colossians chapter 1, verse 18 says, verse 19 rather, that in all things he may have the preeminence. But see, the Jacob family, like some of our families, they thought that they could worship God and still hang on to the practices of the world and be okay. And God calls them in on the carpet for it. See, by doing so, they were missing out on God's hand of favor. God's hand of blessing. Hey, let me ask you something. What about your household? I mean, what about your household? Are there any foreign gods in your household today? You say, Ernest, you know, man, I can't think of one. I don't think we've got any foreign gods in our home. Man, that's wonderful. I commend you for that. It's wonderful. Hey, but do you know what a foreign god is? It's an idol. And do you know what an idol is? An idol is anything that you love more than God, that you serve more than God, something that you trust more than God. So if there's anything in your life today and in your home that you love more than God, that you serve more than God, that you trust more than God, that's an idol. You know, sometimes that idol can be a person. I think about Abraham and Isaac. See, Isaac became the preeminent one in his life. In fact, before Isaac was born to Abraham, God was the apple of his eye. God was number one. He was preeminent in his life. But when Isaac was born, Abraham shifted his love, his preeminence from God to that boy. And now rather than the creator, now the creation is the most important thing in his life. See, sometimes your idol can become a person. Hey, sometimes it can be a possession. I mean, you go back to the New Testament, that was true for the rich young ruler. I mean, his possessions, he would rather have those than the things of God. You see, God may be present in your life. He may be prominent in your life. But if he isn't preeminent in your life, then you're an idolater. And the way back to Bethel, back through that door of repentance, to make God number one in your life again, to experience his hand of favor, his hand of blessing, for the joy of salvation to come back again in your life and for you to be excited and enthused again, you know, like you once were back at Bethel when you first met God. The Bible says that we're going to have to get rid of those things that are taking preeminence over him. In fact, God says in Isaiah 42, verse 8, I shall not share my glory with another. Hey, you want to get back to Bethel? You can, but you're going to have to clear out some things. These foreign gods that are in your life and in your home. But there's something else he mentions in verse 2. Not only do we need to clear out some things, we're going to have to clean up some things. Look at it in verse 2. He says, purify yourselves. And then he says, and change your garments. Purify yourselves. Well, when he said that, he's talking more than just ceremonial washing. It included removing those things from their life, those influences that were driving them away from God. Hey, do you have any influences that are driving you away from God? See, in order to get back to Bethel, God says, purify yourselves. And then he says, and change your garments. Do you see that? And change your garments. That is, change your unholy habits. Hey, folks, we need to exchange some of our unholy habits for some holy habits. Amen? Amen? We do. Somebody once said that backsliders begin with dirty Bibles and they end up with dirty garments. Man, that is so true. Well, look what happened. In verse 3, he says, let us arise and go to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God, who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me in the way which I have gone. So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hands and the earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them. He buried them under the Timnath tree which was by Shechem. Listen, they got together. They got to all those foreign gods together. And they put them together, and they went and buried them under that tree. Listen, God, they got rid of them. They buried them out of sight, out of mind. All those false gods were taken to a tree. Hey, aren't you grateful today that we could take those foreign gods that are in our life and in our homes and take them to another tree? A tree called Calvary, where we can take them and repent of them and bury them there, where we can have freedom from them and forgiveness from them because of the blood of Jesus. Amen? Hey, by the way, I want you to notice what happened. After that family cleared out those things and cleaned up some things, it's really incredible. Don't miss it. Verse 5. It says, and they journeyed, okay? Now they're on their way. And it says, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were all around them, their enemies. All their enemies that were in those cities all around them as they made their way back to Bethel, okay? Were all around them, and watch this. And they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. After they purged their life and their family from all those idols, God gave a restraining order to all their enemies. There was a supernatural terror of God in the hearts and the minds of their enemies. And it's not that they feared Jacob. Listen, they feared the God of Jacob, and therefore they feared Jacob. Hey, you know what's missing in our world today? A supernatural terror of our God. Hey, and do you know why it's missing? I'll tell you why. Because it's missing from the lives of a lot of us who call ourselves Christians. That's why. Listen, we need to so walk with God and before man that the supernatural terror of God is upon our enemies. I'll tell you, our enemies today don't fear us. You look around what's happening around the world, across this land. I'm telling you, we live in a day that our enemies do not fear us. And the reason is because they do not fear our God. Hey, but why shouldn't they? I mean, really, why should our enemies fear God, our God? I mean, we've removed him from our laws. We have removed him from our schools. We have removed him from our government. I mean, why should the terror of God be upon our enemies? Listen, if we no longer fear God, why in the world should our enemies fear God? But you go back to Jacob and his family and those that were with him. Man, they were on their way back to Bethel. They've gone through the door of repentance. They've cleared up all those things, cleaned out everything. And now there was a supernatural terror of God upon their enemies. And God gave a restraining order to all the enemies of the people of God. Verse 6. So Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him. Wow. See, there's the summons back to Bethel. There are the steps back to Bethel. They had to get rid of some things, clean out some things, and clear out some things as they went through that door of repentance. But I want you to notice a third thing with me, and that's what I want to simply call the sights. The sights back at Bethel. And don't miss this. In verse 7, we read the first sight, there was an altar. An altar. Verse 7. And he built an altar there. Listen, the first thing he did when he got back to Bethel, and he built an altar there. You know, the place where you worship. Hey, don't miss this. Once he got his life cleared up and all the things cleared out of his life, now he had the desire in his heart to worship God. You see this? Hey, listen, there is a direct link between our purity and our passion to worship God. And I'll say it this way. The less purity we have in our life, the less passion we have to worship God. The more purity there is in our life, the greater the passion we'll have to worship God. There is a direct link between our purity and our worship. Hey, you want to enhance your worship experience? Then get back to Bethel. You want your worship experience to go to another level? Hey, get back to Bethel. Get cleaned up. Get those things cleared out through the door of repentance. And like the family of Jacob, man, you won't be able to wait till Sunday. So you don't have to worry about dragging people to worship on Sunday. People that have a pure heart and seeking God, walking with God, they're going to be here on Sunday to worship him. Amen? Listen, the first thing they did, they built an altar. Not a home, not a roof over their head. They built an altar. Because now worship was the priority in their life. There was an altar there. But not only an altar, there was also an appearance. Verse 9, then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Padan Aram, and watch these next three words, and blessed him. Don't miss that. And he blessed him. And God said to him, your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name. So he called his name Israel. Also God said to him, I am God Almighty. I am El Shaddai. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you, and kings shall come from your body. Wow. Let me tell you what, God blessed Jacob with a special appearance. He told him to go to Bethel, and he obeyed. And verse 9 says, and he blessed him. Well, of course he blessed him. You know why? Because God always blesses obedience. That's why. He never blesses disobedience. He always, always blesses the obedience of his people. God told Jacob, Jacob, it's time to get back to Bethel. He took God at his word and he did it. And he went over to Bethel and he got over there. And the Bible says once he got there that God blessed him. You know, that really is the Christian life. I mean, God gives us a word. He says, I want you to go over there to that spot. And by faith we go. And by the way, faith, let's talk about it. Bible faith. What is it? Bible faith is taking God at his word. That's what it is. It's taking God at his word and doing it. And whenever you do what God's word says, you're exercising Bible faith. That's it. God told him to go to Bethel. He said, listen, the only way you can get there, you got to clean up some things and clear out some things. And Jacob said, all right, Lord, we'll do exactly what you said to do. And he did it. And he ended up going to Bethel. He got to Bethel, and the Bible says that God blessed him. And for us, it's the same thing. God says, Ernest, I want you to do this. I want you to go to that spot over there. Yes, Lord, I'll do it. I'll take you at your word. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to get over here to this spot where God told me to go. And I get there, and guess what? God blesses me. And he says, now, I want you to go to that spot over there. Yes, Lord, I'll do it. I'll take you at your word and go. And out of obedience and out of faith, I go over to that spot that God has told me to go to. And guess what? God what? He blesses me. Why? Because of my obedience and because of my faith. And you know, the reality is, the Christian life really is taking one step of faith at a time, going to one spot, to another spot that God directs us. And every time we go in obedience to his word, God blesses us. Amen? There was an altar there. There was an appearance there. But then finally, we read there was an ascension there back in Bethel. Verse 13, then God went up from him in the place where he talked to him. Hey, let me tell you something this morning. No matter how far you have got from God, you can always go back to Bethel. You listening to me? No matter how far you have gotten from God, no matter what you've done, where you've been, what you're involved in, listen to me. If you're a child of God, you can go back to Bethel. There's no exceptions to it. But the way back to Bethel is through one door, through the door of repentance, just like it was for Jacob. And like Jacob, we've got to clear out some things by removing false gods. Those things that are in our life and in our homes that we now love more than God, that we trust more than God, that we serve more than God. And we need to take them all, gather them up, and take them to a tree and bury them once and for all, knowing that at the tree of Calvary, where Christ shed his blood, we can have our sins forgiven. We can be set free from the bondage of those old gods and idols that have invaded our life. And we've got to clean up some things by removing those filthy garments, exchanging some of our unholy habits for some holy habits. I like what Vance Havner said years ago. He said, you know, the greatest need of the church today is not more members, more buildings, or more money. The supreme issue is not even missions or evangelism. It is repentance and revival. It is repentance and revival. You say, man, how can he say that? How can he say that repentance and revival are more important than more buildings, more money, more members, more... Hey, you know what? If the people of God repent and experience genuine revival in their lives, all those other things will take care of themselves. Amen? Hey, God has a summons on your life today. Back to Bethel.